Almighty God, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Now just take a look at the picture that was handed out to you today. It's a disturbing picture, isn't it? It was on the internet this week after Pope Benedict XVI read from a discourse between an emperor of the Eastern Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, and the leader of the Muslim faith back in the 14th century. And in this discussion, the Pope quoted this emperor as saying that Islam contributed nothing new except converting people by the sword. In other words, Islam, according to the Pope, contributed nothing new except for the violent conversion of others. And that violence, the Pope said, had no place in the religious life, no place in the life of the followers of God. In response to this statement, we have seen over the last several days violence, protests, the burning of the Pope in effigy, i.e. a big puppet they set fire and stomp on, the burning of Bibles, the firebombing of churches in Gaza, and the leader of the Islamic community, the leader of Muslims in Somalia, issuing what is known as a fatwa, a declaration of death against the Pope, calling on all Muslims to behead, kill the Pope if they can. And this sign was photographed on the streets in one of the protests. It says, "Behead those who insult Islam." The protest is over the Pope saying that Islam should not be a violent religion, that one should not spread one's faith by the sword, that one's religious life should not be one that is typified by violence. And in their protest against the perceived claim that Islam is violent, they end up proving the Pope's point by declaring, calling for violence in response. Now my question today, and this is a preamble to my message, but it is integrated with it as well. My question today, my friends, is how are we going to respond? Are we going to respond with violence? Anger? After all, they burned one of the religious leaders of the Christian community in effigy. They threw firebombs at our churches. They burned the Bible, the Holy Word of God. They declared death sentences against the leaders of our faith. If this were being done against Muslim leaders, the outcry would be unimaginable. What will our response be? Will it be violence? Will we bequeath to our children and our children's children anger and hatred, violence and crusades? Or will we meet the challenge with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hear what Jesus had to say in Mark chapter 8. "If any want to come and be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." When I first heard what the Pope said, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, it's going to be an explosion. And I was right. And when it happened, I found myself getting angry. Mad. These stupid Muslims, don't they know they're proving the Pope's point? They're illustrating the reality of what he said by their own proclamations of death against him. Don't they know that if the Pope is assassinated because of this, there'll be hell to pay? And I found myself doing what I sometimes do more frequently than I want to admit. I found myself yelling at the television. Y'all have done that. When you see something stupid, when you hear someone say something absolutely idiotic, when you see something that is ignorant, you yell at the TV, "You stupid person!" You do that driving. Indeed. My friends, I did that. And then I was thinking, I was yelling at the television set. I got all angry and hot under the collar. And I said, well, if they just are so ignorant that they don't know that they're proving the Pope's point, then so be it. Let's have holy war. And then I sat back down. And the first thing that hit my eye when working on my message for today are these words. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. I don't like being convicted, friends. But sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks in powerful words and convicting words. And what the Pope said was true. The way that God has called us to live is not one of violence. We cannot convert by the sword. Those who live by the sword, Jesus said elsewhere, will die by it. We cannot respond in kind to the response of those of the religion of Islam. We might want to. We might yell at the TV set and get angry. But we cannot respond in kind. Rather, we are called to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We are called to take up our cross. And that cross today may well be the calling to reach out as Jesus did with grace and offer peace even in the face of the sword. Remember, Jesus hanging on the cross turned and looked at the Jewish leadership and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he says that for us too. Indeed, we are called to take up our crosses and follow Jesus. The words of a song came to mind when I was thinking about this. Hear these words. And Rose, could you give me that note? Thank you. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk
close to thee, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Do we believe that? Do we believe that God is calling us to a closer walk with Jesus? He is. Jesus said, if any want to become my followers, if any want to take a closer walk with Jesus, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. My friends, Jesus is clear. We're not to be seeking advantage in this life. We're not to be seeking to pile up riches upon us in this life. We're not to be seeking approval in this world. I could care less what the mainstream media has to say. We are called to respond to this kind of violence as Jesus would respond. Laying down our lives, speaking peace, being the people, the children of God, even in the face of the sword. Jesus continued, for what would it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? You know what? That's what the leaders of Islam have claimed they are for. Gaining the whole world for Islam. They want to convert the whole world. And if you listen to even the so-called moderate Muslim leaders, they say their objective is to convert all of America into Muslim. How are we going to respond to that? I mean, on one respect, we as a nation have to defend ourselves and defend our people and defend freedom and defend the freedom of choice, the freedom of worship, the freedom to believe as we are called to believe, the freedom to worship Jesus Christ, the freedom to be a free people. We are called to defend that on one scale, on one level, in one way. But we are also called to respond with peace. Defend and speak a word of peace. What would it profit the world to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? And to experience and see the gospel of Jesus Christ responding to this kind of true outrage, calling for the head of another religious faith simply because he happened to offend you. How should we respond? And how will the world receive that response if we proclaim the gospel? What do you think of Jesus? Who is Jesus for you? Who is He in your life? Is He your Savior, your brother, your friend, your Lord, your King? If He is, listen to what He has to say. What will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? We're called, my friends, to have a heavenly profit, a heavenly gain, not an earthly or worldly one. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life, their eternal life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. In the face of this kind of opposition, we are challenged in two ways: to proclaim the gospel, and to do so even in the face of the sword, and not to back down, and not to respond in kind, but rather to proclaim Jesus, the Savior of the world, to proclaim His offered gift of grace and peace and salvation. My friends, don't let this kind of thing frighten you. Instead, turn to Jesus and take a closer walk with Him.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.